Yep.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now, Don and Ivan, we spoke last week. I hope this is recording, is it? We spoke last week, Don, about what had happened with iCook Foods, because we tend to just forget about it because, you know, nothing goes on. And
well, last Wednesday we hadn't heard anything at all.
And Ben Fordham sent us an article that said that they'd investigated the coppers down here and there were no cases.
That came out on the Friday, yes. Didn't it?
And then Andrew Rule did an extraordinarily good article on just where this is at. And if I could just pricey a little of what he said, and then we'll speak to the principal of iCook Foods, who I hope is standing. Can you hear me, Ian?
I can.
Oh, good morning, Ben. Good morning. Good. Thank you very much. So I'll just read this out, and this is what, among other things, he did a very good appraisal of what was going on. And this is what Andrew Rule said, among other things. It seems that the only proper investigation has been performed free by two retired detectives, outraged by the treatment of the family business, destroyed by the actions and inaction of the Dandenong and Knox councils, the Victorian Health Department and the Victorian Police. He goes on to give a whole scenario and synopsis of how this unfolded. And we thought, as we always do, if there's something new to discuss about this disgraceful event, that this government in Victoria and federally and locally have been part of, to put a free enterprise company out of business fraudulently, we would check with the principal, which we have done. So Ian Cook from iCook Foods, welcome again. I know you're speaking to us from Brisbane. Tell us where we're up to, mate.
Well, as you heard, the police have come out and said there's nothing to see here, which wasn't. I mean, it's extremely disappointing. You sort of hope that the system that you believed in would actually come good and do the right thing, but apparently not. I think I agree with you. In fact, I was just listening to the opening of your show, Sam, and I think you can't be serious probably about as good an expression as you could use at this point in time, because as Rod Porter said to me a little while ago, a first-year constable could see the crimes that have been committed here. A first-year constable would have thought he was on an absolute winner. You know, we've heard it talked about as a conspiracy, as this, as that. It's none of those things. What we're talking about is not a conspiracy of he said, she said, or us dreaming up something. Let's just deal with one single fact. Elizabeth Garlick wrote in her statement to the Magistrates Court of Dandenong that we had effectively given her a dirty jacket to wear through our premises. So that's what she was telling the judge. And she was telling the judge that because she wanted to make sure that she got a conviction against myself and my company. The video evidence that we gave the police is crystal clear. She walked yes. into the gowning area with a brand new clean gown.
Ian, there are so many, mate, there are so many inadequacies and discrepancies and downright lies that someone like Andrew Rule, who has a terrific reputation, wouldn't bother going on with this. The frustration of this is that the police seem to have been, I'm not mentioning any personal names, but the police seem to have been nobbled by the state government, because this you just cannot let this disappear without taking I don't know what other action you can take. This is so fraudulent and so corrupt that anyone can see it. And why would retired police and your judge, the eminent
Robert Richter.
Robert Richter. Why would they bother being involved if they didn't think that this was just absolutely disgraceful, Ian?
No, I agree. I mean, the civil case is really pretty much what we've got left because, you know, you used to have a protection in Victoria called the separation of powers. It meant that the police would investigate something without fear or favour. That hasn't happened.
Well, and why?
Crystal clear. Well, let's have a look at it. You know what? This police force, this commissioner, he buried red shirts. Now, red shirts was theft. It was theft of money from the Victorian people used inappropriately. The ombudsman came out and said it was wrong, blah, blah, blah. It got buried. The difference this time is we're not talking about theft here. We're talking about fabricating evidence, trying to put someone in jail, trying to put someone and have someone fraudulently committed and convicted of criminal offences. And what Victoria Police are now saying is that in any circumstances that apply to this government, it's okay to do that. Now, if it's okay to do that to me, then it's okay to do it to you, Sam, to you, Don. It's okay to do it to any other member of the Victorian public if they choose to. When did it become okay to frame people because it suited your political narrative? Ian, that sounds to me extremely dangerous.
Ian, I've taken an interest in the case, and to me there's been a bit of a contravention or breaking of federal laws. Have you gone to the federal government? And if you have, where have you gone and what's the situation now with the federal government, if you have approached them?
Okay, so yes, we made a complaint to the federal police. The federal police got back to me and said that the issues we were dealing with were issues that are regulated by ASIC. We've also made the same complaint to ASIC. Currently, I had an initial response from ASIC, but that was only with the brief outline of the original complaint. We've now sent the full details of the complaint in for them to assess it. We will be reaching out to the federal government and asking them to ensure that this is looked at. Because what needs to be looked at here is the breach of federal crimes that are in the public interest. You cannot have CEOs of councils deciding they can do whatever they like, that they're above the law. The whole system will break down if this is allowed to continue. And as we've said all along, this is not just about, you know, Ian Cook and I Cook Foods and what was done to us. It's the broader picture of us allowing our system to break down to this point.
So Ian, you say it's not about, it's about everyone else, but not necessarily you. But having said that, has the personal toll on you and your family been given due providence? This is bullying and orchestrated form of depression and bullying by a political party. Surely you cannot run a family business out of action by these fraudulent means and get away with it. And if you did this in any other workplace about bullying and intimidation, you'd be hauled before the government, and the police would haul you before a federal court or a local court. But this is in reverse. This is unprecedented in legal, I would say, in legal channels in this state.
I think you hit the nail on the head then when you describe it that way, Sam, because if it was in the reverse, so if you or I had done any of the things that the health officers did to try and stitch someone else up, if I tried to make an allegation to stitch you up that was fraudulent, etc., the full weight of the law would come down on me and the powers that be wouldn't give a damn because it doesn't affect them. But because this affects this government, this police force, this Labor council, then it's being swept under the carpet. And where the people in power have control of the police, you have a very dangerous situation, as I've said before. And look, I don't mean that it's not about us. Of course, it's about us as well. What I really mean to say is that it's an issue that we all have to pick up and hold dearly. Democracy, the Westminster system, the separation of powers, all of those things are things that we must fight for, because democracy is not a natural state. It is something that we struggled. We went to World War II because of the need for democracy. We all see what happens in totalitarian countries and say, hey, that's wrong. And yet here we have a clear example of political pressure being put on a police force. This isn't about, you know, they said there's no evidence of any wrongdoing in the closure, etc. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is perjury, perverting the course of justice. These are extremely, these are the worst crimes on the statutes, because they go to the very heart of the justice system,
Don,
that we're all supposed to rely on.
Ian, what's your recall? What's the next step now? And how long, I suppose it's a civil action, is that, would that be right?
Yeah, well, you know what, the civil action will, well, someone described it to me the other day as a game of snakes and ladders. You think you're getting somewhere and all of a sudden you hit a snake and you're back a few squares. So, yes, in the fullness of time, it will come to the court.
How long do you think, how long do you envisage this to take?
How long's a piece of string?
Yeah, well, that's sort of right. At the end of, hopefully by the end of January, we have a direction hearing, which will give us an idea of where it's all going and how long it will take. We had been hopeful originally that it would be early this year, but that seems to have been pushed out.
Now, Ian, financially, how are you able to survive this? How are you able to fight this? I presume at some stage you've got to stump up some money to fight a case. Why don't you set up a GoFundMe? Why don't we ask people who are genuinely interested in the law being adhered to, not by a corrupt government and people who are corrupt anyhow, why don't you set up a fund to fight this to the nth degree? How are you going?
Look, we have. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's no getting around that. We've set ourselves up to hopefully be able to afford to go all the way through it. I have been told that by senior barristers that, and not the ones necessarily just representing us, but I have been told that this is a game of attrition. So, you know, when you consider that the state government and councils are supposed to be model litigants, and the role of a model litigant is to have a look at the evidence and to expedite a resolution as soon as possible to be fair to everyone involved, none of that is happening.
This
is a game of attrition. They just want to...
If we could direct people to the excellent article that Andrew Rule sets it out from day one, chapter and verse, so to speak. Where did that appear? And if people want to get hold of it, what was it in? Andrew Rule's article.
Andrew Rule's article, I believe, was online. So if you're a subscriber to the Herald Sun, it's easy to get a hold of.
Yep.
I believe, I'll have a chat with Ben, I believe he was going to post the whole article either on Twitter or maybe YouTube.
Last Friday, so if you were to go back through the Herald Sun, it was last Friday the article was published online. It wasn't in the paper, but it was online. I don't know why it wasn't printed in the paper. It was a lengthy article, exceptionally good article. One thing I don't know whether you two gentlemen, I read the article with interest. Was there something to do with a relationship going on that may have something to do with this?
Yeah, so there's a police who I believe... Andrew Rule may have spoken to as well, but are certainly through contacts of ours, serving police members at Dandenong, say that there's a relationship between a senior police officer and a senior person in the Dandenong Council.
Oh, good. But seriously, mate, this just goes on and on and on. The the depth of the deception and corruption and stupidity and conflict of interest is palpable. Mate, it's just extraordinary. So I tell you what, we'll keep in touch with you. I hope. Probably it doesn't get put in the paper because it's a long article and they think, oh, well, we've done this several times before and it's not news. But I tell you what, it's news to every single person that has a business in this country and in this state that just wants a fair shake to operate and they're not getting it. And it's extraordinary, Ian. So I'm not sure what else we can say. If you've got any final thing to say, we'll call you again when we get some news.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And look, the most important thing is for everybody who listens to this, you know, get on to your whoever your local member is and just write to them. Write to them and say that the idea that it is okay for evidence to be fabricated, for perjury to exist, to try and put a business out of business and the operators in jail for no good reason, you really need to get that message.
Go, Don. Quickly, Don, please.
Ian, this you should have as film rights. This could make a terrific film.
Yeah, you could be
the twists and the turns.
You could take the part as the slug, Don. Yes, thank you, Ian. We'll speak again.
No worries. Thank you, guys.